2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio. Dave Meekham sitting in for Maria Schleus, who's feeling a little under the weather. And of course, happy to have Ton Bettis alongside as always. Ton, we promised to take some calls. Let's do that now. Nate, you're calling in from Bountiful, and you've got a raspberry question.
Yeah, I do have a raspberry question. So just a little history. Last year we planted, probably 40 raspberry plants, and they were transplants from a friend, and they did really well until their fall bearing. So it's a fall bearing raspberry, and they did really well until late summer, it was July or early August, and they started wilting at the leaves. And at the time, we assumed it was a watering problem, and we just, didn't do a good enough job watering them. And so this year, we kind of recommitted on the raspberries, changed their irrigation. And the same wilting problem happened, about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And so at that point, we realized it may not be an irrigation problem, and we had a local nursery look at the leaves. So we picked a few and took them, and they said that it has a disease or a virus. And they recommended to use a product I've never seen before called horticultural oil. And so my question is, how often can I apply that, and is it going to save them? Because everybody I've talked to is kind of saying that we just need to clean house and kind of start over with a different variety that's maybe a little bit more virus resistant. So I'm just trying to figure out some rules or guidelines on this application for this oil.
Well, to start, you kind of committed one of the cardinal sins of growing raspberries, and you took plants from a neighbor, which potentially could have been infected with a virus or something. Now, they didn't tell you spider mites, correct?
I don't think so. I mean,
okay. Because the next thing here that's very wrong is that you're never going to get rid of a virus with an oil spray, horticultural oil. It's kind of like taking antibiotics for athlete's foot. So you maybe wasted your money there. I'm just being blunt here. I'm not trying to be mean or anything. And so before I tell you to go get all new raspberries, it would be worth posting some pictures to the Utah Gardening Experts Facebook page.
Okay.
Join that group, and within 24 hours, an admin will approve the pictures, and they'll assign a USU horticulturist or another trusted horticulturist to take a look at those pictures, and then also anybody's willing to comment. But for future reference, they're free and everything like that, but I just try to make it a general policy to always purchase certified virus-free starts on my raspberries, and then I put them in an area that has not grown raspberries for several years. And so if you tear your patch out, don't put more in there if we do confirm that it might be a virus.
Is that something that could be in the soil as well?
Yeah. Yep. Viruses can be soil borne.
Okay. As far as variety, what would be a good variety to plant this?
Well, if you want a fall bearer, Polka or Polana are both very good. Polka has good flavored fruit and is very productive. Poulana, which is spelled P-O-L-A-N-A, is highly productive. And the fruit is still pretty good, but it's not quite as good as Polka.
And are they both fall-bearing fruit, or is that like an ever-bearing?
Yeah, they're both, they're either ever-bearing or fall-bearing, depending on how you treat them. So if you have a fall-bearing berry, it was most likely mowed to the ground in the spring or in the fall, and so it only gets fall berries. But if you treat it like a normal raspberry, you'll get a moderate summer crop and then a moderate fall crop.
Okay. All righty. Well, I think that answers it. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
All right. Good luck with that, Nate. Let's take another call now. Andrew is calling in from Harriman. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
So my parents have had a cherry tree for probably about 15 years now, and for the first 12 years or so, we never had a fruit fly problem, and we always had bumper crops. But yeah, about 3 years ago, we started getting maggots in the cherries, and so we first year we dealt with it. The next last year we sprayed, and this year we didn't really do anything in the fruit flies are back in full force. I'm just kind of wondering, is there any hope for maggot-free cherries again without regular spraying, or
buy them from the store?
All right.
There really is only two kinds of cherries, sprayed or ones with worms.
Now, you can spray them organically and keep 90% of the cherry fruit fly out. But if you don't spray, you are going to have them. And I would honestly say don't do a disservice to your neighbors that are trying to treat, because if you don't, your tree becomes a primary source of cherry fruit flies for a lot of the neighborhood trees.
All right. That's what I was thinking you were probably going to say, but figured I'd ask the experts.
Well, good luck, Andrew. I wish we had better news for you, but that's just a tough one. Cherries are hard to grow if you don't spray.
Yeah.
They really are. Codling moth and cherry fruit fly and peach tree, greater peach tree borer, are three insects that are probably the top three that must be treated.
Out for the first 10 years or so.
Or for the first forever, as long as you have the tree.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Okay.
All right. Okay. Good luck with that, Andrew. Anton, we had a bad experience with our cherries this week. We had a nice crop. I'd sprayed them for the first time this year. We were looking forward to having all these nice cherries, and just as they were turning ripe, it was a couple days before we could get to them, and in those 2 days, the birds cleaned the tree. Literally cleaned the tree. It's crazy.
Okay, so next year we need to try, if we've talked about that sugar solution, we need to try that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And explain to everybody what that is. I mean, if you've got a problem with...
Well, I hesitate to just start shouting it from the rooftops.
Okay.
But there are some areas of the country that the farmers have started using a sucrose sugar solution to spray the fruit. And it's just table sugar. But I don't know the concentrations and how they're mixing it. And so let's just do a to be continued on it.
We'll pick this up another time when we have some more concrete information then. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, a lot of people try netting their trees, and the birds, I think, are as big a threat as, you know, insects are.
They really are. Birds can clean it off, especially if it's the only cherry tree in the neighborhood. They will absolutely clean it off in under 24 hours sometimes.
Yeah, it's crazy. This was in less than 2 days. We went from a loaded, beautiful looking cherry tree to essentially nothing. That's crazy. But hey, we made our contribution to the birds, I guess. So, all right, we're going to jump out and take a break. When we come back, we've got Philip and Char on the line, and we're going to help them with their questions as we wrap up the Greenhouse Show on the other side of this break on KSL News Radio.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Greenhouse Show, the final moments of The Greenhouse Show this morning. Dave Meekham sitting in for Marie Chaleos, who's not feeling so well today, and happy to be here with Ton Bettis. Ton, we promised to take last couple calls here, so let's do that now. Philip in Lehigh, you've got an evergreen tree.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Last fall, landscape contractor planted 15 pine or spruce trees along the fence in my backyard, and this spring, seven of them have died. The needles have fallen off. I'm just wondering, he's going to have to replace them, but I'm wondering if there's something I need to do before that to make sure we don't have the same problem again.
Well, were they, do you know if they were Colorado spruce or Austrian pine? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Were they really short-needled or long-needled?
Short-needled.
Probably a type of spruce. Well, especially spruce don't tolerate too much water, and they do not tolerate too little water when they're first getting established.
They made it through the winter, and this spring I have dug around to make sure that they are damp but not saturated and not dry, but about every other tree has died. And
how tall were they when you planted them?
About 6 feet.
So they weren't humongous?
No.
Okay. Well, I wish I could just say this did it. And there's so many things that can go wrong. And when you planted these, were they containerized or were they in the wire baskets?
You know, I didn't notice when they planted them. I do know that that I've dug around them. The root ball is there, and on the ones that are growing, and they're growing very well, the roots are starting to move out into the area outside of the water circle.
Okay, and so you haven't found a wire basket or any burlap?
No.
So they must have been containerized. So the only thing you can do is if you have about half of them thriving, there may have been some chipping or some transplant shock. But if you have the other ones doing well, then I would assume that whatever the problem one was has been resolved. And when you put your new trees in, just do what you did. Make sure the soil is moist. And, you know, it'll be really wet when you water, but let it get moderately dry between irrigations.
Well, I have them on an automatic sprinkling system, and right now I'm watering them every third day. And then I've gone out, like, the day after they've watered, and that's when I've checked the soil to make sure that it's not too wet or too dry.
Well, you may need to adjust that system a bit either way, depending. I wish I could just say, oh, yeah, that sounds great, but because all soils are different and even the systems themselves perform differently, all you can do is check, and if, you know, 24 hours after you irrigated, things are looking pretty good, then just go with it.
Okay.
All right, Philip. Well, good luck with those trees. Let's take another call here. We've got a few minutes left and check in with Char in Pleasant Grove. Char, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Char, uh-huh.
Okay, great. And you've got some problems with your pumpkins.
Yeah, we had one of our pumpkin plants just died. It just looked really healthy, and then it's gone. So we pulled it out, and we have an Atlantic giant that's been really healthy, but we're concerned that there may be... We can't find any squash bugs or eggs or anything, but there were squash bugs in the squash on the other side of the garden. We have honeybees, so we don't dare put any seven down or anything. Is there something we can put down that would be okay on our pumpkins?
Well, what I would do to start with is to mix up 3 or 4 gallons of soapy water. So put a couple teaspoons per gallon of water of like dish soap.
Okay.
And take it out around the base of the pumpkin and pour that water so you just drench it and give it a minute or so and see if you see any squash bugs or any other creepy crawlies running up the stems like you've just, like your cops at an underage drinking party. So, So you're going to do that and see, but there are some things out there. You could try some permethrin or something. I just, you know, the problem is that the squash bugs, if you can get rid of them when they're younger and during the first part of the season, so you'd have normally have started about 3 weeks ago, you can usually keep their numbers down with weekly monitoring. But if you have 25 or 30 plants, that becomes difficult. And so you may need to resort to something and do some very selective spraying with something like permethrin, which if you just spray the undersides of the leaves and try to avoid the flowers and get it dry, I think you would minimize harm to bees, but you don't want to overspray permethrin, because if you spray 4 or 5 times, you would probably flare spider mites and a number of other bad things that you wouldn't intentionally want to do.
Okay.
The spray that I usually recommended, Ortho discontinued, so I'm quite upset with them. But there's nothing I can do about it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I'll try that.
Good luck with that, Char. You know, Tom, the squash bugs are just, it's like to the insect world what bindweed is to your lawn. They're just a constant nuisance.
The Utah County Jail every summer seems to get a crew of inmates with gallons, probably, you know, 55-gallon mm-hmm. drums full of soapy water, and they go through their garden about every week to 10 days for several weeks cleaning the squash bugs up just because they've got the labor, you know.
Yeah.
But the method I recommended, there's a YouTube video that Ron Patterson put together. If you just Google USU and squash bugs, it'll show you how to do it.
You know, in the mechanical, you know, with dumping the water on and squashing them yourself, is it's kind of doable if you've got something like a zucchini, but you've got a big vining pumpkin plant, that really becomes hard.
It does. And how do you apply that everywhere?
Right.
And that's why it's better to do younger. So now, because they are going to start vining all over the place very soon if they already haven't.
And squash bugs, they don't isolate themselves just to squash. They can move on to other plants.
They love pumpkins.
Yes.
They like summer squash, they like pumpkins, and they like certain varieties of winter squash.
And they can move even into other plants. Can they get into, is it cucumbers, I think, impact?
Not as much. There is a cucumber beetle that will get into the cucumbers, but it's not unheard of, but they pretty much stick to the summer squash and a few types of winter squash and pumpkins.
Yeah, I had them in my squash for years, and I would be able to grow pumpkins, and just there was no problem. And then all of a sudden, they discovered my pumpkin patch, and that was the end of the pumpkin patch. And I've just kind of given up in my garden because of the squash bugs. I'm just going to give it a couple, you know, 2 or 3 years, and hopefully let the remnants of the squash bugs go away, and then we'll try it again.
That's about all you can do, and sometimes rotating pumpkins out for a couple of years is the best option.
Yeah, that's my new strategy. Well, Don, it's been great to be in here with you today, and had a lot of fun, learned some stuff, and we're going to jump out now for a discussion we'll be back though next week on the 4th of July with a pre-recorded show, right?
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.